Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. He will utter dark sayings and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
With your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah.
Live, Yahuwah Radio. Special edition called Thursday evening. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast Special Edition called Thursday evening is now on the air. Today's date is the 5th month, 23rd day, 2024. Live broadcast on the international side, packed to the rim, over 900,000 ready to hear the word of Yahuwah. On the left side, the readers haven't came in yet to get in where they put in it. You know, I'll give you a chance to do a little talking then, right? Okay, well, one thing I want the national audience to understand, that the Sixth Anointing Council of Bosses of the True Israelites, we're not anti-anybody, 12 tribes of Israel. I'm going to have the elder read a definition called a revolutionary. What do that mean? What's the definition of a revolutionary? And we're going to let you know, see, what happened. We've been taught wrong by using this Bible as the mark. We're not affiliated with any other group besides Sixth Anointing Council, the Voices of the True Israelite. And our job is to unlock the scriptures and make you think plainly by going over what you have thought you learned, thought you know in the Bible. And then produce your cause. It talks about that in Isaiah 41:21. You got them to work with, produce your cause. And we'll find out you don't have too much to work with. Because do you know that the Bible was not written in English? English is a language that started in 449. It became official language in 1382. If that's the case, then when you call on Lord God, Jesus, and Jehovah, them English words, that wasn't the name they was using from 4004 to 96 A.D. It wasn't no English. So what name was there? What was the role of the tongue of the creation? It was Semitic, now called Hebrew. And they have no vowels. It's no A-E-I-O-U. The 22 alphabets of Semitic have no vowels. The children of Israel spoke a Semitic language, now called Hebrew. And he made a choice coming down to one nation out of the 18 nations. He made a choice. And remember one thing, King James is from the tribe of Zorah. Perez and him is twin brothers. And their father name is Judah. Judah is a black man. But the Zoranites went to Europe. They all got off in paganism. So all that history we trying to bring back to your table. You know, King James was born in on June the 19th, 1566, and he died around March the 27th, 1625. He lived more about, he's 69 years old. You weren't free to 1865. So if you didn't get your freedom to 1865, King James was gone a long time. But one thing he did do, in 1835, that's when Britain, the British, getting your freedom. But they only loose you from the bottom up, not from the neck up. They already worked you over real good. The word Anglo-Saxon and Great Britain, when you trace the origin of these words mean, it means the sons of Isaac. Anglo-Saxon, they call them Anglo-Saxons. But angelic ones are talking about the sons of Isaac. And you know who Isaac produced? Esau and Jacob. You know who ruled Rome, King James came out of? Jacob, Judah, Zora, black folk. Do you know our King James wore fringes? Did you know that? So a lot of information we're going to bring to the table at a time appointed. Do you know that the only best day in the Bible is the Sabbath day? Sundown Friday, sundown Saturday? Do you know that? Do you know that? Somebody else know it. But do you know it?
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you mm-hmm. in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay. And what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observed Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails. I don't respond to work calls. I don't read
from
any script.
Friday night sundown
to Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your emails.
No. That's
like against the commandment of Hollywood, that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's the good thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah.
Up front. Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
Before we even take the job or go down the road. Yeah.
Here's the commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it.
Yes.
Is the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith, your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 13 or 14, that I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know the line.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, right. So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see Hollywood as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
like literally for your first job, I mean, sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday, sundown to Saturday, sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night, sundown, Saturday night, sundown off. And what happened was it was.
Weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It wasn't intentional.
Like you wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional, but I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to, literally, it feels like he's speaking to me, you know, because everything goes great. I feel like, okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know how you just go in and you land, hey, it's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, tell her about the Sabbath. And I'm like, no, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
After I get the
job, I get what I want.
I'll tell them.
Right.
Yeah.
But he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right, well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown because I observe the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am, it will open doors, not shut them. Also,
that's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
We're also thinking about doors, right?
Yeah.
If your faith won't fit in the door that opens, then I argue do not walk through that door. The door that God has opened for you will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
All right. So sundown Friday, sundown Saturday, Big Jiggin Carey understood that and made the adjustment. Did she make it? I don't know. You tell me. But one thing we do know, the best day of the Bible is sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. And so it's called a special edition called Thursday evening. But on the left side, the harvest is clean, but the labor is through. So I might put on the a previous tape for a little while, and once they come in on the left side, you know, so remember, if you think you can read a little bit, I'm still waiting on this Northern Kingdom woman from the Northern Kingdom. Says she can read English and Spanish real good. She said she might come on a broadcast. I'm waiting on her to come on and do a little English reading and some Spanish interpret. You know, you're welcome. Remember one thing, you're welcome. There's a big job ahead of us. But once you start doing a little reading and then you start seeing things a little more clearly, and then if you tie it off into Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, when that right spirit hits you, you might make a change too. For the word of Yahweh is going to draw you, or it's going to drive you. One thing I know the word of Yahweh is going to do, it will expose you. That's two names, YHWH. Ask your telephone, for smartphone, what is God's two names? Watch what happens. That smartphone, what is God's true name? Watch it come up. A full letter. Got it. Good. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to put a tape on for right now. And once the elders and the mothers come in the room, and then we'll come back live. And then we'll take care of some business on the special edition called Thursday evening. Fifth month, May the 23rd, for live broadcast. But we're going to put a tape on for a little while. Now, once the mothers come in the room and once the elders come in the room, then we'll switch back over to the live broadcast. So I'm going to put a tape on for a little while. How about that? All right, Yahweh be with y'all. Now you can hear a case. You gave God false accusations to then make you retract. So what do you read out of Isaiah 6, Paul? For tonight, boy, you can really hear you, young man. Well, where's that coming from? Come on. The Negro question, part 4, the mission list by Lee Cummings on page 8 and page 9. Right. All right. Good. Page 9. Keep back a little bit. Good. I found out that the ancient Scottish were as a tribe, the Northeastern Irish, which means the Scots are really Irish. So if I have seen an ancient Scot, I have seen an ancient Irish man. Yes, I have seen an ancient Irish man. Then I have seen an ancient whisper. So, of course, when we come in short of, we lay no blame. Now, if he's wrong, if his research is not right, then we got to retract that. And we can, when he's short of research, plainly, that the ancient Britain and the ancient Scots were black folk. And let's read again and what is your thought? Who is the chief dignitary who came to that bloodline called Scottish? Let's find out who came to that bloodline called the Scottish today. Talk about it, young man. Call yourself out. Time to read. Lord God, who came through that bloodline of the shock that buried Satan today? Come on, young man. Let's read a bit more. All right. Okay. And it says here, as you can see, from this kind of king, yes, King James the First of England was a descendant of the black Scottish king who played the thrones of France Ireland, England, Britain, Wales, and Scotland in order to reinforce the testimony of Scott Boy Tolkien, of Professor Boy Tolkien. I have provided you with an image of Arthur Stuart King of Scotland. So tell me, young man, do you have any comments? Do you think we're putting part 6? Do you have part 6 to get here and run? Hello, young man. I'm sorry. I'm here for us. So you put your hand on part 6. I want you to turn to page 164 and just a little reading there, young man, because we get time. Then we can go in the kitchen, get you out some business. So on the 13 Black Colonies, New Colonies, Part 6, on page 264, a figure where it says the black spot. I'm trying to work with the young man because I want to make sure that you know how to put it all in there. Take care of business, no problem. And then once we know who can take care of business, no problem, then you take care of that. So now, on page 164, where it talks about part 6, called out on your book, and down at the bottom where it says the description of the black Scottish colony. I'm putting a little reading on that, now. Let's put a little reading on that. Come on. All right. From the Negro Question, Part 6, the 13 Black Colonies by Lee Cummings, on page 164. And it reads, this description of the Black Scottish Highlanders come to us
the very one who saw the angel secret service is better than this document was taken from the original manuscript. It's acquired by his son, Dwayne Mackey, ESQ. I have a threefold cord there. Threefold cord here. The eyewitness account of Joseph Richard. The eyewitness account of the secret service agent, John Mackey, and the chief medical staff, pages 135, 137, and 139. From the government, if you take a man and give him a false memory, a false name, and a false past, what will he become? He will become an artificial being. And that is what has happened to the so-called Negro. The Negro has been made into an artificial being throughout the race of this Negro. If the Negro has his father's book, then his memory will be restored. If the book that contains his past memory has been broke, looks like the Negro question, books here, keep to the shore the true memory of the so-called Negro. See the three kids on next page.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so one thing about you don't know we let young man. Young man is still getting very happy because he's delivering a knockout blow in Grand Charter. When I go on page 165, getting over there it says, these images sound. I like the
question of the Negro.
All right. The Negro question, part 6, the 13th County, page 165. This image found as the local building bank of normally shows the image of three black kids and is dated to the year 1667. There are only three black kids that can fit this timeline. King James, the 6th of Scotland. All right, King Charles, the 1st of Scotland, 6th, and King Charles, the 2nd of Scotland, to the left. The bones in the head of the three kings represent royal rulership and the only king that took business with all in their head was the Byzantine king. The Byzantine king ruled the eastern land of the Roman Empire. And it was said of the Black Britons in their book, they called themselves Romans. What happened to their book? There was, he said again, a young man, the Byzantine king ruled the Eastern what? It's like, see, that line when you really own it, you can't make a good point. You gotta make sure you set and emphasize what you just got to read on page 165. So he says, the Roman Empire, and it was said what? Roman Empire, and it was said what? And it says this. The Byzantine king ruled the eastern leg of the Roman Empire. And this was said of the Black Britons. In their book, they called themselves Romans. What happened to their book, man? Yeah. So the Black Britons, Britain was so, I'll turn to the next page for you, young man. He's going, now we got Brendan Esau. Now, like I said, you know, we have a problem. If we can come out and look like me and you, so we're going to get Esau coming. In his book, he was able to find Esau, and wrote a document for his people, the colors were able to come up with a document. Let's see the stories about the professors on page 156. But what about the professor and young Lyon come up? All right. Page 166. Of the liberal press of part 6, the 13th Black Congress, page 166. The fact of foreign policy on page 3. Now, what did he write? Wait, let's see what Professor Orr Dawson, let's see what he wrote. This is a white man. This is a white power. Okay. This is a white man saying to tell you something. What is the white man getting ready to document? What is the white man getting ready to say about the inhabitants of Britain? Come on, there, young man. The inhabitants of Britain belong to very different races. Britain was inhabited by the black patriots, exiled, rescued from the ancient times and in their book. They called themselves Britons and Roman citizens. These images of the Stuart King, Charles Highlander, activated at the Port Barry Bay of Belgium, proved that she's there. Anything was black. And I have to take the fact as they emerge out of the ground of those with the eyewitnesses of child. It is time for you to put up. Okay, good. Here you go, man. So we show now. Professor Boyd Dawson, he made me know that he has the record book. Now, Chip Conway talked about King James number one. Let's see what the white man said, the professor, the white man. What did the white man say about, what did the white man say when he said, what's at the bottom of the chain? It says, just not. That be not judged, but if you judge righteously. Now look at front of that, my man. Look at front of that part right there. Look at the real chapter. Now just be correct. Let's see what's up under that segment right there. What was up on that segment there? Come on, young man. Up under that, we got the black fathers of the 13th colony. See that? So when they show you on TV about the fathers of 13 colonies in America, all them the black folks, the professors, the doctors, all them the black folks, the 13 colonies, that was dead over by the Scott family, black folks. They don't want to set up the 13 colonies. They didn't really want to be called. You always let somebody else come and look like somebody else. Get off into what you own. You ain't get no for you. You see what I mean? And that happened to the NA 15. I didn't bring any money around. To the NAA, how they call it today? The organization. So now, it's just on top of that. Somebody look like somebody else. That guy happy. Now, let's talk about these black founders, fathers of the 13th colony, King James again. What's this? King James 1? What's everybody in that one? King James, the first. King James, the King Charles, the first. King Charles, the second. King James, the second,
and the Black Trinity Church told us the fact of the true founding of these Black kings, of the real founding father of the 13 colonies. There is no such thing as the white founding father. It is a myth.
That's right. Yeah.
If you are a history teacher, social studies teacher, or a pastor of a church, I don't fault you for what you teach. You are a good teacher. What you are taught, that is not so far. I believe that it was the apostle Paul Saul who said, when I was a child,
Okay, you said you see an image of him, a
But what do they look like in your eyes? The white man. And who are the white men by genealogy origin today? Who are the white men today? White man today, you know, is Esau. Those five sons. Hey, white man today, basically, is the one of Esau's five sons is down five. He is an offspring of Esau and one of the five sons. Anyway, what, let's talk about it. What he got, who is it again? He's a what? He got in writing, in your mind. You know, however, you know, you want to talk about this a little bit. Now, he got his name before Johnson, got his year, and what upon it. Yes, they're on the head. He got archaeologist, essay, yeah. Our audience, answer, page 96 to 97. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to visit page 96 to 97, but we're not right now. So, well, Bethel, Lord Darton, finished the feast of a white field man out his research. Let's see what he says in the year of what. What did he say in the year of what? What name of book did you read out of here? Then I get a question, Paul 6, the 13th by Cummins, by Lee Cummins. So Lee Cummins was able to find Professor Boyd Duncan's record. He's a professor, and he's done the research profile of him, of it. And he only talked it among the local whites. See, remember, you as a people over in America was enslaved. You received independence in 1865. Great Britain gave it to you, so I remember one thing. While all that was going on, it was black folks wasn't saying first, can't watch the man's color. You gotta watch his breath. At the time, you was enslaved over here, the one that was doing, keeping you down, was ruling family of Dora. Dora was the ruling family. And the king was a bloodline of Scottish king, King Black King James. And his son, the guy that you go right over here to see today, and look at the restaurant. I was just reading a bit about what happened in the year of 449 AD. Now, this is the white man to tell you what happened. A white man of the death. So remember, he's not talking to you. What the white man said. Hey, let's read. We believe the white man. But you, the white man said, what happened in the year of 449 AD? What happened, young man?
In the year of 449 AD, 30 English men came from North Germany and the southern shore of the Baltic Sea and pushed the brick up ancient land of England. What's more?
And now I present to you that international Bible teacher of teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Royal, He will utter dark sayings and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
All right, we live. Finally, one of the mothers came into the room, so now we'll go live. One thing about those seers, you're always ready to go, take care of Yahuwah's business, and the harvest is plenty, but the labors is few. It's a big job ahead of us, and we're going to make it happen. So we see Mother D of Israel came into the room, so we're going to go live and bring Mother in, and we'll throw a few verses on the table, and maybe a little bit later, maybe more mothers come on and the elders come on, then we'll get some more in. One thing about it, a lot of work to be done. The harvest is plenty, but the labels is few. So we'll see if we bring in Mother D.F. Israel and see if she's ready to holler in that microphone and do her part. So I'm always ready. I'm always excited to come before you, and because, like I said again, any day can be your last day. Yahuwah got it already laid out in order. Some great things. Matter of fact, we're going to read a little bit of it after the great Mother D of Israel. So when you meet one of the mothers out of Camp One with a loud voice, you say, Mother D of Israel, Yahuwah be to see Royal.
And Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel of C Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah there, Mother. Well, all I can say, well, I'm ready to do my part. Prayerfully, you in the room, do your part. So let's get something going on the room. The best edition call Thursday evening, 5/23/2024, live broadcast. So, Mother, let's take a look at it and see what Matthew chapter 10 verse number 19-21 say. Take a look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 19, 20, and 41. Matthew 10, verse 19, 20, and 41. Hey, write down that verse, Mother. Matthew chapter 10, verse 19, 20, and 41, and holler that microphone and see what that say there, Mother.
19, 20, and 41. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Verse 20. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Verses 41. He that receives a seal in the name of a seer shall receive a seer's reward. And he that receives, What you say?
You said a word, Mother, go ahead.
And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward.
So what we have learned, Mother, if you treat your old seer right, it's a blessing when you treat that old seer right. And that man ain't talking about is the elder. So the elder. So look what we can find out on the way of learning something. When we treat that old seer right, got a blessing coming. That man he's talking about is the man of Yahweh, and that's the old elder. So now look what you're learn on the way of learning something. So when you don't treat the seer right, you know, always learn to run into the tree and all that stuff. But then you're not making Yahweh happen. So when you treat that brother again, a little more audio, Mother, that's the nasty Lord is here. When you treat your old seer right, that man is still ill. Yeah, guess what? Yahweh will shine his face on you. So read that verse again there, Mother. Well, Matthew 10, verse 41, a little more audio. That's a good verse there, Mother. Come on.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 41. He that receives a seer in the name of a seer shall receive a seer's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward.
Sirach chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6. For if he curse you in the bitterness of his soul, his prayer shall be heard of him that made him. Verse 7. Get yourself the love of the congregation, and bow your head to a great man.
Mm-hmm. So, now, what you get out of that, mother? So, mother, be up there, what you get out of that now? With that precept, what you get out of that?
I don't know, Sia.
So, what do we say in 4 verse 6? What do we say? We got plenty of time, mother, because we're waiting on Taylor to come in the room. We're waiting on mother to come in the room. So, we got plenty of time. So, why don't you read again and tell me what you get out of it.
It's missing about a great man. Verse Sirach 4:6.
Yeah, what it say?
For if he curse you in the bitterness of his soul, his prayer shall be heard of him that made him. In verse 7.
Okay, stop it there. No, stop it there. Stop it there. What does that mean? What do the rock over a stick mean? What does that mean?
Well, it's not telling me who is the he. If he curse you.
What is he? He's not saying who he is. He said that he is the one his prayer will be heard. Okay, now I'm going to tell you then. Then you need a precept there. You need another precept, right? You will find what he
yeah.
is, right? So what you're supposed to say, hallelujah, Yahweh, for a precept. That's all, mother.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
You're supposed to think of nothing. You say, well, hey, Steve, I need a precept on that. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's get a precept, mother. That's all you're supposed to say. Well, I don't understand that. I need a precept.
Okay? Yes.
Let's go to 2 Kings. And get a precept. And let's get a precept, mother. Well, you don't understand anything in the Bible. All you said, well, look, I don't understand it that way. I need to know the precept. So we're going to get a precept, mother.
All
we're
right.
We're going to 2 Kings. And, well, what I want. We're going to get a precept on the mother. That's all. Let's see if we get a precept. See, that's the key to it. When you don't understand anything, you're supposed to ask for a precept. That's the game changer right there, because you want to make sure that you're saying and doing the right thing. You just ask for a precept. Now, if whoever is standing before you can't give you no precept, then you put the higher self stack on them. Why you can't give me a precept on that? I need a precept. Okay? So we're trying to find a precept, but I'm struggling, mother. I'm struggling. And in 2 Kings, I'm struggling for a precept. But I'm over in 2 Kings, mother. Chapter 2, verse 23 down to verse 24. See, you ask for a precept, so now I'm going to try to give you one. You say, well, I don't understand who the he is. Okay.
Right.
2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. Now we'll get the answer to your question.
2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23 and 24.
Yeah, 23
okay.
and 24. Going to precept.
Okay.
Maybe you
yes.
did you get the understanding with the precept. What did it say?
2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. 23. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city,
and marked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald-headed, go up, thou bald-headed. 24. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of Yahweh. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and Terah 40 and two children of them.
Now, you see, the precept, now what the precept just told you, mother. He said, if he curse you in the bitterness of his mind, his prayer will be heard. Now we precept that to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. Now who is the he, mother?
Elisha.
And who is Elisha? So who is Elisha? So who is he?
The seer.
Oh, the seer. And what did he do? In 24, and he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the four letters. Then there came out two she-bears out of the woods and told 40 and two children of them.
Yeah.
So when he cursed him, his prayer was heard by Yahweh. And Yahweh sent two she-bears, put in their mind that Elisha the seer was one of their cubs. And you know, if a woman see her offspring being threatened, she's going to give you all the work you need. Is that right, mother?
Yes.
So these two she-bears came out and gave them 42 kids all the work they did for cursing out the seer. They cursed the seer out, calling him names. Then he turned around and cursed him in the name of Yahweh. Then guess what? Yahweh heard him and sent two she-bears. And the two she-bears got real busy, didn't him up.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Threw him up and killed him. So when we read Sirach 4, verse 6, if he curse you in the bitterness of his mind, who going to hear him? Yahweh going to hear you. Then Yahweh going to ask you what you want me to do about it. So there go your precept, mother. I can't get a hallelujah out of that.
Yeah, hallelujah, but they did something to him, though.
What did they do to him?
They marked him.
They marked him. So the same thing in Sirach 4, verse 6. He said, if he curse you in the bitterness of his mind, Yahweh is going to hear him. So he's saying, if he curse you, Yahweh gonna hear, and who do Yahweh always hear first? Who do we hear first, mother? Let's get a precept on that. Let's see who we hear first, mother. Now we're gonna see who we hear first. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 7. Let's see who do we hear first, mother, D.F. Israel. Let's go back. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Let's precept that Bible and see who do we hear first. 1 Samuel chapter 7. We go and see who do he hear first that we can read. We're going to 1 Samuel chapter 7 there, Mother D of Israel. And what we're going to find out in 1 Samuel, who do we hear first? Let's look at verse number 5, just get warmed up. 1 Samuel 7, verse 5. What it say in 1 Samuel 7, verse 5?
1 Samuel, chapter 7,
verse 5. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto Yahweh.
Uh-huh.
Verse 6.
Verse 9.
You said verse, I just read verse 5.
Verse 9.
And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, hallowed unto Yahweh. And Samuel cried unto Yahweh for Israel, and Yahweh heard him.
Yahweh heard who?
Samuel.
Who is Samuel?
The seer.
Let's get a priest. But let's go find, let's get a precept on that then, let's see who Samuel is. So, go to the 9th chapter. Let's see who Samuel is then. Let's go see who Samuel is, mother, and write. Samuel chapter 9. Let's see who Samuel is, mother. Verse number 18 and 19. Let's see when we precept our Bible, it tells us who Samuel is. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 18 and 19.
1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 18 and 19. Verse 18. Then Samuel drew near to, then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray you, where the seer's house is. Verse 9. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in thine mind.
Verse 27.
Verse 27, and as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on, but stand you still a while, that I may show you the word of Yahweh. Y-H-W.
Uh-huh. So now let's go back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 41 again now. Matthew 10:41. Now let's see if we tie all this in, mother. We're going back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 41. Let's see if we tie it all in, mother. We've done all that good precept. Now let's see if we tie it in with some understanding.
Yeah. Matthew 10:41. He that receives a seer in the name of a seer shall receive a seer's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward.
So now what have we learned so far, mother? What have we learned now? What have we learned? Do Yahweh make is everybody created the same in the eyes of Yahweh, mother?
Well, But here it says fear in a righteous man.
Yeah, a fear in a righteous man.
You get reward.
Okay. So what is a righteous man, Mother? Let's go to 6:25 of Deuteronomy. What is a righteous man, Mother? Let's even get a precept on what is a righteous man. He said a righteous man, right? What is the definition of a righteous man? Okay, well, let's precept that and find out the definition of a righteous man. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6:25. What is the definition of a righteous man? Let's find out. The definition of a righteous man. Deuteronomy 6:25. We go and find out what the definition of a righteous man. What that means.
Yes. Deuteronomy. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Verse 25. We go and find out what is a righteous man. That we go and try to find out.
Deuteronomy
how we identify
chapter,
a righteous man.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25 reads, "And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments, the laws, the statutes, before Yahweh, our Yahweh, as he command us.
Demand up, yeah. So who to us? So how do we identify a righteous man, Mother, according to 6:25? How we identify? Because he got breeches on? Because he got beard on his face? How do we identify a righteous man, Mother, according to 6:25?
This is not just talking about a righteous man. It's talking about the congregation of the children of Israel.
Okay. That's good. But we trying to find out how to identify a righteous man too. Remember, we still got to identify.
You
got to
keep.
Man,
they got to keep. We have to keep the laws, the statutes, the commandments of Yahweh.
Oh, so that's how you identify a righteous man. Is that right, Mother?
Yes.
So how you identify? No, how about hallelujah? What? So how you identify a righteous man according to the Bible? He must be doing what in your eyesight? According to 6:25.
Keeping the laws and the statutes and the commandments.
Oh. See, that's how you identify a righteous man. So how you identify a seer is, according to 27, he speak the words of Yahweh. And how you identify a righteous man, a man got to be doing what, Mother? According to the Bible.
Keeping the laws and the commandments. And
so that's how you identify a righteous man. He might tell you, I'm a righteous man. Then you say, well, according to what? The world or according to the Bible? What are you a righteous man? Is it according to the Bible or is it according to the world? He said, what you mean by that? Well, according to the Bible, if you're a righteous man, you'd be doing what, Mother?
Keeping the laws, statutes, and commandments of Yahweh.
You see that, Mother? Like, see what we're going to learn on the way of learning something. So now we identify. Now, let's see what it says in Sirach, chapter 6, verse 6, 7, 35 through 37. We're going to Sirach, chapter 6. Now, with that understanding we got, Mother, now we're going to Sirach, chapter 6, verse 6, 6, and 7. And 35 through 37. Now we go on and find some more information. So we got plenty of time because sooner or later, if one of your grandbabies around, tell them to get in contact with Mother. You can tell her come on the broadcast and give you your hand while we edify the national audience.
Ain't nobody here but me.
Hallelujah. Well,
mm-hmm.
So we're going to find out some more information. Yeah, we're going to find out. You write it down first. Sirach chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, and 35 through 37. So what are we going to do, Mother? We're going to find out some more information about the righteous man and how you're supposed to treat the righteous man that keeps the laws, statutes, and the commandments. So that's how you judge. You don't judge them behind what they say out their mouth. You judge them biblically of the Bible by keeping laws, statutes, and the commandments. Sirach chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, 35 through 37. What did it say there, Mother?
Sirach chapter 6, verses 6, 7, 35 to 37. Verses 6 reads, be in peace with many. Nevertheless, have but one counselor of a thousand. Verse 7. If thou wouldest get a friend, prove him first, and be not haste to credit him. Okay. Verses 35. Be willing to hear every Yahwali discord, and let not the parable of understanding escape you. 36. And if thou seest a man of understanding, get you betime unto him, and let your foot wear the step of his door. Verse 37. Let your mind be upon the ordinance of Yahuwah and meditate continuously in his commandments, his statutes, his judgment, his law.
Yeah.
He
read
shall.
Verse 35 again, Mother. Hey, Mother, read verse 35 again.
Verse 35. Be willing to hear every Yahwali discord, and let not the parable of understanding escape you.
36. Listen good. 36.
And if thou seest a man of understanding, get you betime unto him, and let your foot wear the steps of his door.
What kind of man in 36, Mother, before we get your betime? What kind of man of understanding you supposed to get to be time, Mother, according to verse 36? What kind of man, Mother?
In 36?
Well, go back.
No, you mean
yeah.
In
what
35?
What kind of man, Mother? Well, no. What
in
kind 30? Of man, Mother? Go back. Well, hold on, Mother. Hold on. Listen, Mother. We're doing some edifying the national. Everybody taking notes. So what kind of man, Mother? Now go back to 625 or Deuteronomy and see what kind of man. Huh? But you didn't come with it quick enough. Now you got to read it now. See, not any kind of man. The man got to be a what, Mother? 625 or Deuteronomy. Not any kind of man. Man can be just a rich man of the world. And see, that's any kind of man. Man can be a man with 14 shoes on, a washboard stomach, a pretty car with turtle wax on it. Not any kind of man, Mother. Remember, you got a lot of grandbabies over there, so you got to make sure that you explain them what kind of man. What kind of man? Deuteronomy 6:25, Mother.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments, the laws, the statutes,
so when you sit around your grandbabies, do you tell them to get any kind of man, mother? What kind of man would you tell them to get according to 625?
A man that keeps the laws, the statutes, and the commandments of Yahweh.
Oh, so that's what you tell the grandbabies now. Just don't get any kind of man, my child. Make sure the man that you get is the laws, statutes, and commandments. Now precept that mother to Sirach 37 verse 12. You don't tell them you get any kind of man. Make sure the man you get is the laws, statutes, and the commandments man. Do that make sense, that mother?
Hallelujah. Why?
All right. Then, now you still talking to your grandbabies. Then you tell them, what kind of man? Sirach 37 verse 12.
Okay. Sirach 37 verse 12. Sirach 37 verse 12. I have to pick the phone up. Sirach 37 verse 12. But be continuously with a Yahweh man whom thou knowest to keep the commandments, the laws, the statutes of Yahweh, YHWH, whose mind is according to your mind and will sorrow with you if thou shall miscarry.
If you have any kind of problem, so you're not going to tell your grandbaby to get any kind of man now, mother. What kind of man you going to tell them to get now, mother? According to the Bible, what kind of man you going to tell your grandbabies, your granddaughters to get, great-granddaughters? What kind of man, mother?
The one you know to keep the law, statutes, and commandments of Yahweh.
And according to 37 verse 12, what kind of man is that, mother? What kind of man is that that keeps the law, statutes, and commandments? According to 37 verse 12, what kind of man is that? According to 37 verse 12.
A Yahweh man.
Oh. So you're going to tell your daughter, when you start smelling behind them men, make sure he's what kind of man, mother?
A Yahweh man.
Now you see that, mother? Now you see what you got on the way of getting something? So you just don't tell him just bring me any kind of man. It's not, this is my man. You want to make sure he's a what kind of man, mother?
A Yahweh man. Why is that?
A Yahweh man. Now, guess what? Now you're getting the blessings that Yahweh wants you to have. Now, let's go a little further on that. Since you brought it to the table, that's how the spirit of Yahweh operates. No action in Yahweh. Now, let's go and get some rules and regulation, mother. We go on Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19. Now, you got all the grandbabies over. Now, it's time for you to teach. Now, you're going to take them to Leviticus 19, verse 19, and see what the heavenly tablets say. 19, verse 19.
Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19. You shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let your cattle gender a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow your field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingle of linen and woolly come upon you.
Now, mother, We got plenty of time. What you talking about, mother? What you talking about? Let's find out what 19 talking about. What you talking about, mother? Start from the top again. What you talking about?
You shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let...
Hold on, mother. Hold on. Read verse 1 just to make it sound good. Let's see who's talking about what you're supposed to keep. Let's look at 19, verse 1 and 2. Let's find out who's talking, mother. Who's doing this great big talking in 19, verse 1 and 2?
Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. And
3.
1, 2,
and 3. Hey, mother, 1, 2, and 3.
Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 to 3. Verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be righteous, for I, Yahweh, your Yahweh, am righteous. Verse 3, you shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbath. I am Yahweh, your Yahweh, YHWH.
So who's doing all this great big talking, and who is he talking to, mother? Who is he talking to?
Yahweh, YHWH, speaking to Moses.
Okay, great. Let's find out who Moses is. Put your marker there, mother. Let's find out who Moses is. Let's go to Numbers 12, verse 7. We're going to Numbers. Let's find out who we're coming back, mother. Put a marker there, mother.
I did.
We're going to Numbers chapter 12. We're going to find out who this Moses is, mother. Who is this Moses?
Mm-hmm.
Numbers chapter 12.
Yes.
And we're going to pick it up at verse number 4. Let's find out who Moses is. Figure verse 4. Down to verse 8. Let's find out who Moses is. Numbers chapter 12. Verse 4 down to verse 8.
Numbers chapter 12, verse 4 to 8, verse 4. And Yahweh spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation, and they three came out. Verse 5. And Yahweh came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Verse 6. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a seer among you, I, Yahweh, YHWH, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. Verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house, temple. Verse 8. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, I think that's right, and not in dark speech. And the similitude of Yahweh shall be behold, therefore, then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?
Uh-huh. And what happened in verse 9?
Verse 9. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against them, and he departed.
Oh, so if you speak against the man of Yahweh, how do Yahweh feel about it, Mother, according to verse 9?
His anger was kindled against them.
And what'd he do?
And he departed.
And what'd he do? And he left.
But he departed.
But hold on, Mother. But he left. How was he feeling, Mother? How was he feeling when he left?
He was angry.
Why? Why was he angry, Mother?
Because of Miriam and Aaron had said something they didn't supposed to say.
What did they do, Mother? What did they do to make an angry? According to verse 8, what made Yahweh mad at Miriam and Aaron, according to verse 8? What happened? What did they do, according to verse 8? Read.
It said, okay, verse 8, it reads, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speech, and the similitude of Yahweh shall he behold. Wherefore, then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?
What did they do to make Yahweh angry with their mother? What did they do, according to verse 8?
They said something they ain't supposed to say.
Oh, now what did the Bible say they did? They spoke against Moses, my servant. He's not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. So when you speak against Yahweh's servant, how do Yahweh feel, Mother?
That makes him angry.
That makes him angry. Ain't that something? You hear that, Mother? So when you speak against Yahweh's servants, that make him angry. Is that right, Mother?
That's what it reads.
That what it reads?
Yes.
So it's not too wise to go back and forward with Yahweh's servants. Is that right, Mother?
Yeah, you know how to be a servant, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's go get a precept on that, Mother. Let's find a little bit more about Moses. Let's go to Ezekiel the seer and 14:31. Let's get a precept on that, Mother. Remember, Mother, we edifying the national audience. Don't get caught in your feelings over there. Just ask the question according to Scripture. Don't get caught up now, Mother. Let's see what it says that we can read in Ezekiel 14:31.
Ezekiel chapter 14. You said 14?
Yeah, Ezekiel 14:31. What do 14:31 say?
Go up to 23.
Ezekiel, don't, no 14:31 in Ezekiel?
No.
Okay, well, we'll bypass that then. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 1, 9 through 13 then. We'll bypass that, Mother.
Second Kings.
2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9 through 13.
Okay, 1 Kings chapter 1.
2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 1, 9 through 13.
2 Kings, chapter 1, 9 through 13. First Kings chapter 1, verses 9 through 13.
Second Kings.
Second Kings, chapter 1, verse 9 through 13. Right?
Hallelujah.
Okay, verse 9. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill. And he spake unto him, thou man of Yahweh, the king has said, come down. Verse 10. And Elijah answered and said to the captains of 50, if I be a man of Yahweh, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Verse 11. Again also, he sent unto him other captains of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of Yahweh, thus have the king said, come down quickly. Verse 12. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of Yahweh, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Fire of Yahweh came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Verse 13. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50, and the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of Yahweh, I pray you, let my life and the life of these 50, your servants, precious in thine sight.
Hate that brother. You hear that, Marvel? So what you get out of that, Marvel? So what you get out of that? They said, come down, man of Yahweh, the king want to see you. Come on down now. Come on down, messenger of Yahweh. Come on down now. If I be a messenger and a man of Yahweh, since you talking with all that bass in your voice, let fire come down from heaven and kill you and everybody with you. What happened, Mother? What happened?
The third part changed their mind and asked them in a different way.
Oh! So when you around the seer, you supposed to do what, Mother?
I don't know. Well, what are you saying?
What you supposed to do when you're around the seer?
Huh?
What did the third band of 50, how did they respond, Mother, to the old seer, the man of Yahweh? How did they respond? What did they do? What did the third group of people do? Yeah, 50 men went in with all their weapons and everything. What did he do first, Mom?
They approached him in a different way. They acknowledged him.
Oh. Because now go back to Sirach 4 verse 6. And now you understand this verse now. Sirach 4 verse 6. Now you should be able to understand this verse with no problem after you do the precept. Sirach 4:6.
Sirach 4, 6. Sirach.
Mm-hmm.
Sirach chapter 4, verse 6. Let me get to it. Sirach chapter 4, verse 6. Can you hear me? Because my phone has changed.
Yeah.
Okay. Change strings and be there. Okay, Sirach chapter 4, verse 6. For if he cursed thee in the bitterness of his soul, his prayer shall be heard of him that made him.
Now, do you understand Sirach 4, verse 6 now, mother? Who got the power? Who got the power to say, if I be a man of Yahuwah or a servant of Yahuwah, and since you got all that faith in your boy, let fire come down and kill you and everybody around you? Who got that power, mother?
The seer, boo.
Oh. So that what we unlearned out of that, huh? The seer, boo. Okay, good. So now we know Moses is talking in Leviticus 19 to the children of Israel. We're clear about that. Moses is talking to the children of Israel. Is that right, Moses?
Hallelujah.
Okay, now let's see what Moses told the children of Israel then in 19, verse 19 again.
Okay.
Let's see what Moses tell the children of Israel in 19, verse 19. We clear that Moses talked to the children of Israel, according to 1, 2, and 3. Moses told the children of Israel, keep the Sabbath day. That was Moses told them. Keep the Sabbath day. And that was Moses told them, mother?
Yes. I was looking at that. Okay.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
No. So Moses tells the children of Israel to keep the Sabbath day, mother. And what time is the Sabbath day again, mother?
What time it is?
Yeah, according to you. Huh?
Sundown Friday. Sundown Saturday. Seventh day.
Okay, suppose you was on your job, mother. Or you had a job out there in the field where you let's take an example where you're doing a service and you do half of the service. Are you looking for a whole pay model if you do half of the service? If you're doing a service and you do half of the service, are you looking for the whole pay?
Am I looking for the whole what?
If you're on a job and your job is 8 hours and you do 4 hours, are you looking for an 8 hour pay, mother? If the job is for 8 hours and you do 4 hours,
right?
Are you looking for the whole pay, mother?
No.
Why?
You only did half of it.
Because you got what, mother?
You only did half.
So the reward you get on a job by doing half of 8 hours, do you get a whole pay or you get half the pay?
You get half the pay.
Oh! is respecting Yahweh to give us a whole reward on him, mother?
If you think about it, no.
You see that? If you think about it, no. Because we're looking at the job that we on. We're looking at a job we on. Before we was like cutting grass. And man, yeah, go out there and cut my grass. And you cut half of the grass. Then you stop right there and go and say, well, I want my pay. You're supposed to get all the pay for it, mother. We're going to get you cut half of the grass.
Half of the pay.
Oh. So what we got coming, we keeping half of the Sabbath day, mother, according to Scripture. What we got coming? A whole blessing?
Well, you don't want me to say nothing. You that's a teaching, so I'm just gonna say.
What we got coming about keeping half of something? Mm-hmm. No, we edifying the national audience.
Yeah.
When we cut half of the grass, do we tell the one that we cut half of the grass? We want whole pay. Do we tell them give me whole pay for cutting half of the grass?
No.
No? We should not ask them to give us all the money, should we? And we ain't gonna have the grass, right, mother?
Right.
And so Yahweh told Moses, tell the children of Israel to keep the Sabbath day, and the Sabbath day is what time it is, mother?
Sundown Friday, sundown Saturday.
Okay. So just like we in the world, when you driving your car somewhere, and they say, where you at? Well, I'm halfway there. Are you there? Is you halfway there? They say, where you at, Grandma? Well, Grandma say, hey, Grandma, where you at? I'm halfway to my destination to pick you up. But is I'm all the way there, Mother?
No, you say you halfway.
Oh, so by keeping the Sabbath halfway, mother, is we doing the right thing in the eyes of Yahweh?
No.
I can't get a hallelujah Yahweh on that, huh?
Well, hallelujah Yahweh.
Okay. Well, that's something to think about when you sitting around the grandbaby. Well, okay, we use one more scenario. Grandbaby, the dishes in the sink. And they go over there and wash half of the dishes. And say, Grandma, I'm through. I've done half of it. Give me my pay. Is you going to give them the whole pay, Mother?
I ain't give them none of it.
No?
No, you half did it.
All right, you can't give them half. You can't give them whole.
You halfway did it, so you ain't halfway getting nothing.
Oh, so keep that in your mind, mother. Keep that in your mind when you're teaching others. And either we're going to do what Yahweh say, we can't do half of what Yahweh say. Is that right, mother?
That's right. Hallelujah.
Is hallelujah, what, right, mother?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now let's go back to Leviticus 19:19. So we know Moses is talking to the children of Israel. Let's see what he says in 19:19. So granddaddy seer, I slept half of the floor, and you told me if I sleep the floor, when the ice cream truck come, I'd get me some ice cream. I said, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I said, how much did you little sweet baby? I done half of it. Oh, yeah? So you want me to go out there and get you an ice cream by doing halfway? No, I can't do it, baby. You got to come all the way.
Yeah.
See, I have to teach you a lesson. You got to come all the way. You got to sweep the whole floor to get the reward. Same thing. That same thing, ain't it, Mother?
That's right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay, good. All right, that's enough of that. Now, that's a little problem. Pastor Leviticus 19:19. Let's get half of the verse in now. Let's read half of it. 19:19.
Leviticus 19:19. You shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let your cattle gender a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow your field with mingled seed.
Stop it there. He said, thou shalt not let cattle gender with diverse kind. That means you don't let your cattle, you don't let your dog lay down with no cat. You don't let no horse lay down with a rat. You separate them two. You separate the horses from the goats. You don't let the pig and the chicken lay down together. You separate the chicken from the pig. You don't let them lay down together. You don't let a different species lean in with a different species. You keep everything together just by going to the field, Mother. You don't take a rice seed, corn seed, watermelon seed, grape seed, throw them all into one batch, one part of the field. What do you do, Mother, with all that? What do you do with them four kinds of seeds, Mother?
You separate them.
You separate the watermelon seeds from the grape seeds. You plant the watermelons on one side. You plant the corn on another side. The grapes on a, you don't mingle them all together. If that was again,
yes,
Mother,
cattle. Yes,
that means you
cattle.
Don't mingle them all together. So now, when you got a garden in the backyard, you don't pick watermelon seeds, pumpkin seeds, grape seeds, and just throw them all out together and put the water on it. You separate them. Is that right, Mother?
Hallelujah.
Huh? Is that right, Mother?
Hallelujah.
All right, let's get a precept on that. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 8 and 9. Let's get a precept now, Mother. Now we're going to get a precept. See, now we got to be thinking people now, Mother. We got to be thinking now. We just can't be moving on the world. We got to be thinking now. Deuteronomy 22, verse 8 and 9. Then we'll take it down to verse 12. Let's get 8 and 9 the way first. Deuteronomy 22, verse 8 and 9. Listen good.
Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a I can't even see what that word is saying.
Yo, go ahead. When you build a house, make sure the house is flat and it got rails around just in case you slip, you can bump into the rails. Don't build a house like they got today where they all on a slope. So you go up on a house on a side and the house is going straight on down, you fall out and kill yourself. See, let you know, when you build a house, make sure the house is flat. Because if something go wrong with it, you can go up there and straighten it up and build rails around it just in case you stumble. But if you build a house that got it coming down angrily and you slip, what's going to happen to you? You fall down and hurt yourself. Is that right, Mother?
Well, it says for your roof.
Yeah, but for your roof.
Yeah.
Yeah? So when you build, when you're building your house, you're telling you how you build your roof. You don't build your house the way it got the roof today. Everything coming down like an angle, Mother. You come in an angle, you mess around. If you're not professional, you get on an angle, and you mess around, and then you slip, and you're going to bust your butt. Is that right, Mother?
Yes.
So he's telling the children, Mother telling the children of Israel, when you build a house, make sure the house is flat, and you got rails around it. Keep reading, Mother. Keep reading, or keep reading.
That thou bringest not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence. Verse 9. Thou shalt not sow your vineyard with divers seed, lest the fruit of your seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled.
You see that, Mother? You hear that, Mother?
Yeah.
You hear that, Mother?
Yeah.
So if you sow your seed with mingled type of seed, I don't care how good it looks, but Yahweh says what, Mother? What does that is?
Defile.
Oh!
Defile.
Oh! So if you sow, different type of seeds together, like you put pumpkin seeds, watermelon seeds, grape seeds, and you put them all together, and then you put the water on it. Whatever you just did, Mother. You done what, Mother?
Defiled it.
Oh, you done defiled it. All right, keep reading a little bit more, Mother. What happened next?
Verse 10, thou shalt not plow. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together.
So you don't have an ox and an ass together. See that, Mother? You don't have an ox and an ass together. Because one might be in heat. You don't put the ox and the ass together. You don't put, like they're doing these dogs today, they got dogs, all kind of dogs. That's Mr. Esau, the white man, the white woman. They experiment with all kind of dogs. You got all kind of dogs now. You know what they're doing, Mother? They mixing this dog with that dog and come up with that kind of dog. You see all the strength of the dogs now, Mother? You don't see the blue, a blue dog? You see how ugly a blue dog look, Mother? That's a lot of cross-breeding, Mother. You see a ugly-looking dog that his face all hanging down all kind of ways? That's because mixing a different dog with another dog to come up with that dog. So Yahweh is telling the children of Israel, don't you do that. Don't mix a Rottweiler with a poodle and take a poodle and mix it with a Great Dane. He said, don't you do that. Don't mix the dogs up. Is that what we're reading, Mother?
So we were written about the cattle.
No, we're talking about this. He started the cattle first, then he got to work his way up. He started the cattle first, letting you know, don't put what kind of cattle together, Mother? What's your name?
It's an ox and ass.
Don't put an ox and ass. I mean, you know the ass jackass. You know a donkey is. Don't put an ox and a donkey together. Don't put a donkey together. Don't do that. Is that what we read, Mother?
Right. Yeah, that was
we read. Is that what we read? Well,
yes.
How about Hallelujah Yahweh? All right, what happened next?
Hallelujah Yahweh. Okay.
And what happened next?
Verse 11. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as a woolen and linen together. Verse 12. Thou shalt make you fringes upon the four quarters of your vesture, wherever thou covest thyself.
You hear that, Moses? Yahweh telling Moses and children of Israel?
Yes.
So Yahweh telling Moses tell children of Israel, right? But when you're wearing your garments, make sure your garments got wet on them, Moses?
Fringes.
You see that? You see that? Then he tell you don't plow different types of animals together. And
right.
Come up with all them strange. He also plowed, told you don't take a bunch of mixed nuts. Like you can buy now, you can buy a package of nuts. And they got mixed nuts in it. You got all type of nuts inside of these nuts. He said, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't mix all that stuff together. Don't do that. He tell the children of Israel the book. Don't mix. Don't do all that mixing. Keep everything separate. Is that what we read, Mother?
Hallelujah, Swab.
All right. Let's go to 7 and 8 then. Deuteronomy. Now let's go see what he says in 32, verse 7 and 8.
Deuteronomy, chapter 32.
Verse 7 and 8.
Okay. Yeah, I'll make sure I got the right chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7 and 8. Verse 7. Remember the day of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father,
mm-hmm.
and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. Verse 8. When the Most High Yahweh divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the peoples according to the numbers of the children of Israel.
Oh! So Yahweh's intent of the nation was to be all together. Is that what it's saying, Mother? So Yahweh told Moses again, I want all the nation to be one nation. Is that what he's saying, Mother? Or what did he do?
He said it's the children of Israel.
Yeah, what did he say he did?
He set the bounds of the people according to the numbers of the children of Israel.
No, but what did he do, Mother? What did he do with the children of Israel? Back up a little bit. What did he do with the children of Israel? What did he do?
He separated
the children of Israel from the other nations. Is that what I read, Mother?
Yes.
So the children of Israel is not to mingle with the other nations because Yahweh is the one done what, Mother? What did he do, Mama?
He separated. Pause.
So, when you sit around with your grandbabies and you explain them they are Israelites, but according to other nations, they are what, Mother? According to the Bible, they are what?
The children of Israel. Somebody at the back door. Yeah. The children of Israel, he separated them.
Yeah. That what he did, Mother?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. Let's get a precept on that, Mother. Let's get a precept on that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Verse 6. Let's get a precept on that, Mother. Now you see what you learn on the way of learning something, Mother. The children of Israel is what kind of nation, Mother? According to Yahweh, they're what kind of nation?
Separated.
From what? The other nations. The other nations. The children of Israel is a separate nation from the other nations. Is that what we read, Mother?
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
19 verse 6 of Matthew.
Matthew chapter 19, verse 6. Wherefore, they are no more twins, but one flesh. What therefore Yahweh has joined together, let not man put asunder.
Oh! So what Yahweh joined together for the children of Israel to be what kind of nation, mother?
Yahweh bless.
What kind
Come
of nation,
again,
mother? Yeah. Remember, you got 900,000. Listen to you, mother. Come on, mother. Listen to me now. Listen to me. I'm running out. What did y'all want to do for the children of Israel?
Separated us.
From what?
From other people.
Separated you from what, mother?
From other nations.
From other nations. And then he came in the flesh and said what in 19 verse 6? What did he say in 19 verse 6, mother?
Wherefore, they are no more twins, but one flesh. What therefore Yahweh has joined together, let not man put asunder.
So what have we learned so far, mother? We learned that you can't mix a jackass with another kind of beast. We learned that you can't take corn, rice, beans, grapes, and put them all together. You got to separate them. Is that right, mother?
Yes.
Can I get a hallelujah, Yahweh, on that?
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
So that's what we're going to learn on the way of learning something. Is that right? Later,
hallelujah,
we're coming down to the last. All right, good. Now, let's go a little further. So, in the book of that red book, mother, let's see what it says in 1 Ezra chapter 8, verse 70. What it says in 1 Ezra 8, verse number 70.
Okay. 1 Ezra chapter 8, verse 7.
Verse 7. 70. 70.
Oh, 70. Chapter 8, 70. 1 Ezra, chapter 8, verse 70. 70. 1 Ezra, chapter 8, verse 70 reads, for both they and their sons have married with their daughters, and the righteous seed is mixed with the strange people of land. And from the beginning of this matter, the rulers and the great men have been partakers of this sin.
This what, mother?
Sin.
What is that, mother? What's
sin.
The sin, mother? What's the sin? What's the sin?
Sin.
What is the sin? What is the sin? According to 8 verse 70. What's the sin?
They married the strange peoples of the land.
They mingled
the righteous mingled the righteous seeds mixed together, is mixed with the stranger.
And they become a what, mother? When you mix with other nations, you become a what?
Sin.
That Bible said it?
That what it read.
That what it read?
Yes.
You mean when you see two different ways together, according to the Bible, that's what, mother?
Sin.
Can I get a hallelujah, Yahweh, on that?
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Let's get a precept, mother. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 2. Let's get a precept on that, Mother. Let's get a precept on that. Nehemiah 9, 2. How about a precept, Mother, D up Israel? Nehemiah 9, verse 2. How about a precept, Mother, D up Israel?
Okay. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 2. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 2. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 2 reads, "And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all the strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the sins of their fathers."
What did they do, Mother?
They separated themselves from the strangers and confessed their sins.
Oh! So what that mean? What that mean?
They knew they had sins.
What it mean? They don't, once they heard the Bible, because a lot of people, they heard the Bible. Is that right? Like grandbabies, they heard the Bible. You had it, grandma? They ain't heard the Bible yet. They ain't heard this kind of teaching, had they, Mother?
Not all of it, no.
So now you know how to read 9 verse 2 to them, and once they hear the word, read 9 verse 2 again, Mother?
Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 2. "And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the sins of their fathers."
So once they heard what not to do, what they do, Mother?
They confessed their sins.
And done what?
Yeah, what it said, they
according to
verse,
what they do? Okay, good. They confess, they say.
They
what
separated.
They
separated themselves.
After they heard the Bible, they done what, Mother?
Separated themselves.
Because they didn't want to be what, Mother, according to a little bit more? They didn't want to be what? They separate themselves because of what reason, Mother? And they done what? They separate themselves from all strangers and stood and done what, Mother?
Confess their sins.
Uh-huh. And the sins of their father. So once they heard what to do, Mother, what they do, Mother?
Separated themselves.
So when you sit around with grandbabies, they ain't heard this. But suppose you give them the heads up on it, Mother. Suppose you give them the heads up. So you in a position to get them the heads up. Some people live a whole long life with long life. And they didn't know these things. But now you got an opportunity to sit around grandbabies and get them a heads up. Is that right, Mother?
Yeah, I already gave them a heads up. This ain't nothing new.
Okay, there go your comeback. But we in position to give those that need our ear to hear a heads up. Is that right, Mother?
Yeah, well, maybe we need to say it another way.
Okay, well, let's get a precept on that. Let's go to Nehemiah 13, Mother. Let's find out about this heads up. We're going Nehemiah 13. Figure out verse 1. Let's see how you give them the heads up, Mother. We're going Nehemiah 13 and see how you give them the heads up.
Nehemiah 13, verse 1.
Uh-huh.
On that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonites and the Moabites should not come into the congregation of Yahweh forever.
Now, who are the Ammonites? Hold on, Mother. Who are the Ammonites and the Moabites? The Japanese and the Chinese. That's the Japanese and the Chinese. What about the Japanese and Chinese, Mother? Verse 2, what about the Japanese and the Chinese? What about them in verse 2?
Verse 2, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them that he should curse them. Howbeit, our Yahweh turned the curse into a blessing.
And what in verse 3?
Verse 3. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude.
Oh! After they heard the what, Mother?
The law.
Oh, so the law is. See, grandbabies ain't heard the law, Mother. After they hear the law, and you get them the heads up, they supposed to do what, Mother, according to verse 3?
Separate.
From who?
From Israel and all the mixed multitude.
Ain't that something? You know that Bible telling us, that Bible telling that Mother? You said that it's
Hallelujah.
In the law. It's in the law. When you understand these things, you supposed to do what after you hear the law, Mother?
Do it. Separate yourself.
But see, you got opportunity to give grandbabies a head start. You got great grandbabies over there. You get them a head start. Is that right, Mother?
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
You have the opportunity to just read the Bible and let them read the Bible, and you sit right there with them and explain what they read. So they got opportunity right now while they, you know, to show them exactly what they both do before they get out into the world. Is that right, Mother?
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
All right. Skip down to verse 7, and let's see what's going on 7 down to verse 9.
Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 7 through 9. Verse 7. And I came to Judah and understood of the evil that Elisha did for Tobias in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the temple of Yahweh. Verse 8. And it grieved me sore. Therefore, I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobias out of the chamber. Verse 9. Then I commanded, and they cleaned the chamber, and hither brought I again the vessel of the temple of Yahweh with the meat offering and the frankincense.
What do you mean by he cleansed the temple? How did he cleanse the temple in verse 8, Mother? How did he cleanse the temple according to verse 8?
Verse 8, and it grieved me sore. Therefore, I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobias out of the chamber.
Oh! So that's how you cleanse the temple. Is that right, Mother? So how did he cleanse the temple? By doing what, Mother? What did he do?
Took out all his Tobias and all his stuff.
And that guy went to the temple.
And they cleansed it out.
cleanse it off. You mean that Bible tell you that, mama? You mean that Bible saying that? Verse 3.
Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude.
And they done what in verse 8?
And it grieved me sore before. Therefore, I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobias out of the chamber. Tobias was a mixed multitude. And among the mixed multitude.
Remember, you read about the Chinese and the Japanese, mother. The Chinese and Japanese, they put their brick in, and then there come a little man in and say, wait a minute, what they doing up in there for? And they greeted him because he understood the book saying that ain't supposed to happen. So he got busy on him, didn't he, mother?
Yes.
He got big on me. He's very angry. He got very angry. Let's get down to verse 17. Let's see what happened, brother. Now, where are you going to start at this thing in verse 17?
Nehemiah 13:17. Then I contend with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath?
That's something. He is the man saying, mother. He compared with the nobles of y'all got Judah. And what y'all doing? What y'all doing by profaning the Sabbath day, y'all got Judah? What y'all doing? Is that what he's saying, mother?
Yes.
Is that what he's saying? What does he say in verse 18 and 19? Listen to it, mother. 18 and 19.
Verse 18. Did not your fathers thus, and did not our Yahweh bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. Verse 19.
Wait a minute. Let's hold on, mother. Now, you brought all this rap on about profaning the Sabbath day? Let's start a little bit more in verse 19, mother. Let's start a little bit more in verse 19.
Verse 19. And it came to pass that when the gates of Judah began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut. And charged that they should not be open till after the Sabbath. And
wait
some
minute,
of the
wait a minute, wait, hold on, mother. And it came to pass when the gates of Judah began to be dark. What time did it begin to be dark? When was this, mother? When was this begin to be dark? Hey, mother. When would this begin to be dark?
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
So. Verse 19, and it came to pass when the gates of Judah began to be dark before the Sabbath. What time was that, mother?
The sundown.
The sundown Friday, right? And I commanded that the gates shall be shut and charged. They shall not be open until when, Mother?
After the Sabbath.
After the Sabbath. That's all I want. That's all I want, Mother. So the Sabbath day starts on the sundown on Friday. And it ends on the sundown on Saturday. Grandma, if I make your bed up, Grandma, can you give me a dollar? Yeah, I need a dollar, baby. Go make my bed up. And they make your bed up halfway, Mother. Is you going to still give them a dollar, Mother?
No.
Why?
They had bed it.
They had bed it. So what reward we got by have keeping the Sabbath day, Mother? What we got coming?
None.
You see that, Mother? You see what we learn on the way of learning something, Mother? You see what we learn on the way of learning something, Mother? You see how we learn something on the way of learning something, Mother? That don't work on no job. You can't, if you got an 8-hour job, you can't do 4 hours of it and look for the whole pay. Do you supposed to do that, Mother?
No.
Hallelujah, why I met, huh?
Hallelujah, why?
All right. So skip out of verse 22. Let's see what happened next, Mother, in 22.
Verse 22. And I commanded the Levites that they should clean themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me. Remember me, O my Yahweh, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of your mercy.
Hey, that's something. You see that, Mother? So you see where the field be talking that good talk? But I'm on Yahweh, do what for me, Mother?
Remember me.
Yeah?
Oh, my Yahweh, concern this also and spare me according to your greatness of your mercy.
So he came in and he observed things wasn't going right. And he just started blasting on the Mother. He contended with the nobles, and then he argued with the nobles in 17. He said, what y'all doing? How you have keeping the Sabbath day? What y'all doing? He said he argued with them by doing that, Mother, the nobles. He got on the nobles by this name, Mother. And then he did, Mother.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Then he said, hey, Yahweh, would you remember me, Yahweh? I mean, no, this ain't no easy job. But remember me and thy mercy. And what else did he notice in verse 23, Mother? Now, what else did he notice in 23?
In verse 23, in those days also saw I Judah that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of
they married wife of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. And Moab. They started marrying all kinds of women, Mother. He said, I know today. I started seeing them, and all of them had the same color on them, Mother, but they wasn't from the 12 tribes of Israel. They weren't Israelites.
Yeah.
He said, they started marrying people of another race of people. Is that what's going on, Mother?
Yes.
And what happened when you do that, Mother? What happened in verse 24 when you do that?
24. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in Judah language, but according to the language of each people.
Well, actually, when you marry other nation, and the woman got to raise the baby, whatever she know, she gonna imply it on them. That's why you're gonna be confused, Mother. See, when they jump up and marry out of their race and get another race of people, The mother got the first shot at him. So whatever she know, God was going to teach the baby. Is that right, mother?
Hallelujah.
So what happened next in 24? Verse 24.
That's
no,
what
okay,
I read.
24. Okay, read 25. Read 25, mother. This is very interesting. Verse 25. What did he do? Hold on, mother. Hold on, mother. So when he's seen all this cross marriage is going on, and the children of Israel, the men have married all these strange women and stuff like here. Huh? You seen all this?
Mm-hmm.
Before you read verse 25, put a marker there, mother. Before you read 25, let's see if we can bring something else in. Let's do some spirit teaching on this. Let's go to the 11th chapter, 1 Kings, verse 1. Before we read 25, mom, let's read that for a minute. We come back to 25. Let's see if we bring Yahuwah in the picture. Bring Yahuwah in the picture. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. Let's bring Yahuwah in. Let's see what he thinks about this, mom. We're going to bring Yahuwah in. 11,
okay.
Verse 1. Coming back to put a marker there. 11, 1.
1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Amorites,
Edomites,
and Hittites.
Yeah, Zedonians. Okay, now let me go over this, mother. Let me go over this with you. So Solomon loved strange women together with the daughters of Pharaoh. Women are Moabite, Chinese, Ammonite, which is sinners of Shem, Edomite, the white man, the white woman, Zedonian, that's sinners of Ham, Hittite, sinners of Ham. So that's the African American. So he loved all of them. What do you call them, women, mother? What kind of women did they?
Strange women.
Strange from what? From being the children of Israel. See, you can be strange from being anybody that's hooked to children of Israel. That's what kind of people, mother?
Strange women.
Okay, good. And what happened in verse 2?
Verse 2. Of the nations concerning which Yahuwah said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your mind after their false Yahuwahs. Solomon cleaved unto these in love.
So Solomon didn't listen to his mother. Hey, mother. Solomon didn't listen to his mother.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. No, he didn't.
He didn't listen to his mother. But what did Yahuwah tell him in verse 2, mother? What did Yahuwah tell him in verse 2, mother?
In verse 2. Of the nation of the nation concerning which Yahuwah said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your mind after their false Yahuwah. Solomon cleaved unto these in love.
So who is these strange nations, mother, according to verse 1, that Yahuwah said unto Solomon? All his wisdom he asked for, and he didn't pay Yahuwah, so never mind. Verse 1.
The Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites. I forgot what you said that is.
Yo, who are the Edomites here, man? Who are the Edomites here?
Esau and his five sons.
And what do they look like today? What do Esau and his five sons look like today?
White man and white woman.
Ain't that something? You thought about the Bible saying, mother?
Yeah.
That what the Bible saying?
Yeah.
So the children of Israel should not be marrying who, mother?
The Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites.
Who are the Edomites here?
Chinese and Japanese.
Who are the Edomites here? Who are the Edomites here, mother?
The Japanese.
Who are the Edomites here?
Oh, the Edomites. I thought it said Moabites.
Yeah, who it is?
The white man and white woman. Red
and the other two is the African American. The other two is the African American. These other two is African American, mama.
Uh-huh.
So, Gedadonian, that's sons of Ham, daughters of Ham, and the Hittites is the daughters of Ham. All them is the daughters of Ham.
Yeah.
Look at Big Dignitaries. Look at Big Dignitaries. That's here. You got to give me a precept on that. Okay. I ain't got no problem with that. Do him up. Hey, do him up.
No.
Remember his name.
No.
Remember his name, mother. Gedadonian and Hittite, right?
Right.
Right. Let's give him a precept. Let's go to Genesis 15. Let's give him a precept, mother. Big Dignitaries on a precept. Give them two names, and when you come up with the two names, let us know. We're going to the 15th chapter, and we're going to see can we find them two names, mother. We're going to see can we run down, Jim, see we run them down, mother. Matter of fact, make that the 10th chapter. Now, remember the two names we're looking for. Now, when you find them two names, let the national audience know about them two names you just come up with. We're going to Genesis chapter 10, mother. And we'll pick it up at verse number 15.
Okay.
What name are we looking for again, mother?
The Hittites
the Hittites and Zedonia. That we're looking for. Let's see can we find some of them here, mother. Let's see can we find some of them here. Well, I don't really see them here.
I don't know.
Let's see. I don't really see them here. So I got to pass. I got to pass here, mother. I got to wait. I got to come back. Look at Big Dignitaries and say, I got you now. Well, you got me read now, but the precepts, let's go to Deuteronomy 7. I can't see them there. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, mother. Big Dignitaries said, I got you now, fear. See that? Gedadonians and Hittites. Let's see, can we go another way there, mother? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And remember them two names again.
Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1, read. When Yahweh shall bring you into the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations,
therefore, I mean, before you, the Hittites and the Gerizzites.
Hold on, mother. Was that one of the names, Hittite?
Yes.
So Hittite, we got one, the Hittite. He said, now,
yes.
when you get to the nation, it before the Hittite, and what is that? The Gerizzite, the Ammonite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hittite, the Jebusite, seven nations that's strong within thou. What do you say? What do you say in verse 3 about them? We got half of them. We'll get to Zebedonians a little bit later. We'll get to Zebedonians in a minute. Read verse 3. What do you say about them nations, mother? The Hittites.
Verse 3. Never shall thou make marriage with them, your daughters.
Neither.
Well, Matt. Okay.
Neither.
Make marriage with them.
Neither. That said neither, mother.
Let me read
not
again, because
okay. Well, take your time, mother. Neither.
I thought I said neither shall thou make marriage. Neither shall thou make marriage with them.
Okay.
Your daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shall thou take unto your son.
Go ahead.
Keep on. Verse 4.
He's going to tell you why. He's going to tell you what.
Verse 4. For they will turn away your sons from following me, that they may serve others, false Yahuwahs. So will the anger of Yahuwah be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly.
Ain't that something? You the man saying, mother?
Yeah.
He said, now what they're going to do, the other nations going to do, they're going to teach you about their Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. They're going to teach you about white man Jesus. And then you got your offspring in your lap. And you know, the babies, when they small, they follow what mama got to say. And all mama knows about is white man Jesus, right? So what's the baby going to know? What's the baby going to know?
What the parents teach them.
That's right. White man Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Christianity, Islam, Judaism. They're going to show that white man Jesus picture to that little baby. And they don't be no more than 1 year old. And they'll say, that's the Savior. That's our Jesus. You see that, mother? They tell you in advance, don't get caught to Mother Nation, because they're going to turn your daughters and your son away from me. Then I'm out to hurt them. Is that what you said, mother?
That's what they say. Yes.
He said, he would be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. He said he's going to beat you back if you do it, mother. Is that what he's saying, mother?
Yes.
In verse 4. Is that what he's saying in verse 4? Well, read it again for the last naughty. What do you say in verse 4?
Verse 4. For they will turn away your sons from following me, Yahuwah. That they may serve others, false Yahuwahs. So will the anger of Yahuwah be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly.
So what you supposed to do according to the mind now? It's all about your mind now, mother. So what do you do according to your mind? Verse 5. So this is what you do
verse 5.
When you find out, verse 5, what you do according to the mind.
Verse 5, but thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their
graven images with fire.
Why? Why, mother? Why'd you do that in verse 6? Why?
Verse 6. For you are an righteous people unto Yahweh, your Yahweh has chosen you to be a special people unto himself above all peoples that are upon the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm. So if you do the right thing, mother, what will Yahweh say he'll do for you in verse number 14 and 15? So now if you follow the man say, what do you say he'll do, mother? Pick with verse 13. No, pick with verse 12. Make it sound good, mother. 12 down to verse 15. Now, if you do what he tell you to do, let's see what he got for you in verse 12 to 15.
All right. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12 to 15, verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken, listen to these judgments, and keep and do them, that Yahweh, your Yahweh, shall keep unto you the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto your father. Verse 13. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your corn and your wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of your sheep and the land which he swore unto your fathers to give you. Verse 14, thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. 15. And Yahweh will take away from you all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon you, but will lay them upon all them that hate you.
So, do you want to explain to what you just read, Mother, before the master on his note? What did you read here? What did you read?
If you keep the laws and statutes of Yahweh, his covenant, then all these blessings be upon us.
And what is one of the laws you got to keep, Mother, according to verse 7, verse 1?
One and three. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 3. Verse 1. When Yahweh, your Yahweh, shall bring you into the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, and the
good,
river
right there. Good. So all he really is black nations. All these black nations, mother. And what he said about them black nations, mother, that's not Israel, verse 3? All them black nations.
In verse 3, neither shalt thou make marriages with them, your daughters, thou shalt not give unto his sons, nor his daughters shall thou take unto your son.
So they can be a black nation like you, a black nation, but that don't work with the Bible. You got to marry. What kind of nation you got to marry, mother? Your grandbaby got to marry.
Your nation.
And what is your nation for the national audience?
The children of Israel.
You got to marry. You got to have an Israelite mother and an Israelite dad. That's what you got to do. If you want the blessing, you got to marry. You got to have an Israelite woman marrying an Israelite man. Is that what we read, mother?
Hallelujah, Aqua.
So it ain't got nothing to do with colorism, mother. It ain't got nothing to do with colorism, mother. All right. Now come on back to read 11 verse 1 again. We wind it down, mother. We put it wind it down, mother. Now come back to 11 verse 1, verse 10. So we know because the person said, well, this I married woman look like me. Yeah, but what nation is she from? Is she from the children of Israel, which is are she from the daughters of Ham? So you can't marry like Ahaz did. He married a Zidonian, Jezebel.
Mm.
So they go to your Zidonian mother, Jezebel. See, Jezebel was a Zidonian, and Jezebel, by being a Zidonian mother, that was forbidden for him to do. I thought she was black just like Ahaz was from the northern kingdom. But you can't marry Zedonian. So that's what I meant to put in 11 verse 1. Zedonian is Jezebel. Jezebel was a Zedonian. And the Hittites, remember when David took Uriah's wife, they was Hittites. That was a Hittite woman. You know, when David seen her bathing and he had Big Joab to take him out and get him killed, and David married, got her pregnant, that was a Hittite woman. See that, mother? Then Yahweh
when
killed
Solomon's mother?
No. The baby didn't live. The baby was killed. He killed the baby because she was a Hittite woman. Solomon had the Hittite man, had Big Joab to put him on the front line to get killed, and Bathsheba was a Hittite woman. Read 11 verse 1 again, mother. Read 11 1.
1 Kings 11 1.
1.
1 Kings 11 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, woman of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and Hittites.
So that Zidonian, that was Ahaz married a Jezebel. She was a sons of Ham, and the Hittites was, when David saw that woman, Uriah, the Hittite, he had David. David had Big Joab to put him on the first line and got him killed. And that's when Solomon got pregnant, was a Hittite woman. But what did Yahweh say? Did not do, mother, what he said not do with the Hittites?
That among the strange women, don't marry.
You see that? And that's what David did. So he dropped a sword in David's house for the rest of his life. So what he did, although David was his main man, but he dropped he couldn't go against his word. So he got the sword in David's house for the rest of his life. And he killed the baby that she had because she was a Zidonian. And Edomites was the white man and the white woman. So you see that, mother? You see that, mother?
Yes.
Not a big dignitary fan. Okay, Phil. Now, what we do about that? What do we do if we've already made that move? Well, see, let the Bible tell us, Terry. Let's go to EZRA 10:1. Let's find what you do, Mother. Now, what you do behind that? Now, all the way in line, Mother. We're going 10:1 of EZRA and find out what we got to do. We're going 10:1, Mother. We're going to read a little bit. 10:1.
Okay.
EZRA 10:1. Now, the big thing is everyone know, what do we do about that? Because I have a strange wife myself. Oh, you do? Okay, let's see the Bible say you do. Not what I say you do. What do the Bible tell you do? EZRA 10:1.
Ezra chapter 10, verse 1. Now, when Ezra had prayed and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the temple of Yahweh, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, who wept very sore. Verse 2. And the son of Jael, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, We have sinned against our Yahweh and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing.
Okay.
Verse 3. Now, therefore, let us make a covenant with our Yahweh to put away all the wives and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Yahweh, and of those that tremble at the commandments of our Yahweh, and let it be done according to the law. Verse 4.
And do it according to the law, Verse 4.
Verse 4. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto you. We also will be with you. Be of good courage and do it. Verse 5. Then arose Ezra and made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word, and they swore.
Verse 6.
Then Ezra rose up from before the temple of Yahweh and went into the chamber of Jehohanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came hither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression, the sin of them that had been carried away. Verse 7. And they made proclamations throughout Judah and Judah unto all the children of the captivity that they should gather themselves together unto Judah. Verse 8. And they whosoever would not come within 3 days according to the counsel of the priests and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited of himself, separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away.
Oh, so the ones that don't want to come up in 3A and talk about this thing, they'll do what, mother, in verse 8? All the big dignitaries that don't want to hear it, they got to do what, mother, in verse 8?
All his substance should be forfeited and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away.
So he had gone about their business. So if you want to continue in them strange ways, you had gone about your business. Is that right, mother?
Yes.
Did that, I can't get a hallelujah out of that?
Hallelujah.
And what happened in verse 8? 9.
Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Judah within 3 days. It was the 9th month on the 20 day of the month. And all the people sat in the street of the temple of Yahweh, trembling.
What are you doing,
because
brother? What are you doing, brother?
Trembling.
What are you doing at the temple? They were there doing what, mother?
Trembling.
They were trembling, mother? Uh-huh. What else
yes.
they doing?
Because
what
of this
doing?
Matter. Because of this
uh-huh.
matter.
Yeah.
And for the great rain.
It was a great rain. It was trembling, mother. And what happened next? In verse 10. What happened next?
Verse 10. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, you have
Listen,
transgressed,
mother.
You have sinned,
yeah.
and have taken strange wives to increase the sin of Israel.
Uh-huh. 11.
Now therefore make confessions unto Yahweh of your fathers and do his pleasure and separate
uh-huh.
yourself from the people of the land and from the strange wives.
Ain't that something? You hear that, mother? You was going on here, mother? What the next? 12.
Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do.
Uh-huh. He said we got to do it. Verse 13.
13. But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain, and we are not able to stand without. Neither is this a work of one day or two.
No, right.
For we are many that have sinned in this thing.
Mm. Go ahead and read, mother. Go ahead and read. 14.
Let now our ruler of all the congregation stand, and let all them which have taken strange wives in our city come at appointed time, and with them the elders of every city and the judges thereof until the fierce wrath of our Yahweh for this matter be turned from us.
Oh, so how do Yahweh feel about them strange women and strange husbands, mother? How you feel about it?
He's angry. He's angry.
And they want his wrath to turn away from them, right, mother?
Yes.
So we have the next at 15. Just call the first letter and keep moving.
15. Only Jonathan, the son of A, and J, the son of T, were employed about this matter. And M and S, the Levite, helped them.
Sixteen.
And the children
of the captivity did so. And Ezra the priest with certain chiefs of the fathers after the house of their fathers, and all of them by their names were separated and set down in the first day of the 10th month and to examine the matter.
Okay, hold on. Everybody got together on the first day of the 10th month. What month is that, Mother? What month is the 10th month? But and that's 2 months before January?
January.
No, December is 12th month, right? So what's the 10th month? And December is the 12th month. So what's 2 months before December?
It's not the 12th. It's not our month. Our month started.
I know that, but we're just going to use American calendar right now. So the 10th month will be
William. Time, 10th month is October.
So October, November, December. So 10, so they're there. October, right, Mother? October, right?
Yeah,
tenth
that's
month, right. October?
Yeah, yes.
That's good enough right now? Okay, October, that's the 10th month to examine the matter. What happened next? So they October the 1st or the 10th month. Go ahead.
17. And they made an end with all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month.
Wait a minute. So when's the first month, Mother?
January. Is that?
So you got October.
First.
So that's January, right, Mother? I mean, on American calendar, that's January, right, Mother?
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's January? Right?
Yeah.
And January the first month of the year, right?
To them.
So they got from October to January. And how much time is that, Mother? How many days between October and January?
Three months.
So you got 90 days, right, Mother? You said 90 days, right, Mother?
Yeah.
So you said 90 days? So they got 90 days to do what, Mother? What they got 90 days to do in verse 18? 90 days.
Verse
18. They got 90 days to do what?
And among the sons of the priests, there were found that had taken strange wives, namely of the sons of Jeshurun.
Okay, Get down to verse 44 for time sake. Verse 19. 19. So we got 90 days, Mother. Verse 19. Yeah?
Verse 19. And they gave their hands that they would put away their wives and being guilty, they offered a ram of the flock for their sin, trespass.
Okay, they got how long, Mother, to make an end of them strange people's marriage? How long they got, Mother?
90 days
to figure that out. Verse 44.
Okay. Verse 44. All these had taken strange wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children.
So they got, how much time they got, Mother, they got 90 days, Mother. And Yahuwah night? Yahuwah get, I'm caught up. So Yahuwah give you how long to straighten that up, Mother?
90 days.
Now look what you learned, Mother. That's Mother. It wasn't no accident, Mother. Look what you learned now, Mother. Sit them grandbabies down. Ooh, but grandbabies, you got how long to rectify that, mother? How long?
90 days.
90 days, yeah. Tonight. So, mother, we're going to stop right there, mother.